What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jenkins, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Well, we've had a nice break from Major League Soccer, and I think a lot of us got to enjoy some international friendlies, particularly watching Canada play against Holland and France. And now it's back to Major League Soccer and what's coming up for Toronto FC and their next match against Chicago at home June 15th. Alongside me is John Molinaro from TFC Republic. I'm Jimmy Brennan. Well, John, Toronto FC's had a decent first half of the season, currently now sitting in sixth place, 24 games played. They've won seven. They've lost seven. They've drawn three. They've got 26 goals for, 26 against. Are we happy where Toronto FC is currently at the moment, at the halfway point of the season?
I think you'd have to be, yeah. I mean, you know, going into the season, I think most sort of pundits and fans were kind of doom and gloom, right? They thought like a team that was largely a holdover from last season. And that's a bit of an exaggeration because there were some additions. But it's largely, I mean, 75% of the roster from last season. And so I thought the general thinking was that, you know, how are things going to get better with, you know, essentially the same group of players? But, you know, I think they've overachieved. I think they've, you know, played some, you know, early on in the season. I mean, they were just defensively really sound, kind of lost their way in the middle pack of the games there. And now have kind of found their way back. And, you know, they're getting sort of scoring from sources like Prince Owusu, who I don't know people necessarily saw that coming, just the way he sort of entered MLS. Bernadeschi and Insigne are both playing well. They look fully committed and are really sort of playing with a passion and showing genuine leadership on the pitch. And, you know, they're getting contributions from, you know, young players, whether it's, you know, Tyrese Spicer or Jaquil Marshall-Ruddy. The newcomers have settled in, like Nixon Gomis and Kevin Long, Debbie Flores. You know, so, yeah, I think this is a pretty good spot for them to be, you know, sixth place at the halfway point of the season. I think only 5 points out of the top four. There's still some distance to go. I think, you know, they still have to find a way to become more comfortable in finishing off teams and kind of winning more easily. But I think generally speaking, you know, at the halfway point, if you had sort of offered John Herdman, you know, a 7-7-3 record after the campaign that they had last year, he would have like ripped your hand off. So yeah, I think they have to be pretty pleased with where they are.
It seems like the players are buying into what John is preaching. You can slowly start to see John Herdman's identity and philosophy of how he wants to play and perform. Do you think the second half we're going to see more of an influence?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of firmly ingrained right now, right? I mean, I think, as you said, the players have kind of firmly bought into this sort of brotherhood model that he's, you know, used when he was at, you know, the Canadian women's team and the men's team. And he's successfully transferred over to TFC. And I think that's one of the large reasons why the club is in the spot that it is right now. Again, essentially with a very similar roster to last year, I think a great deal of credit for that goes to John Herdman. And I think it's only going to become more ingrained and more sort of embedded in the culture of the franchise, you know, as the second half progresses. And there's going to be challenges. I mean, I'm sure we'll get into this, but, you know, they're going to be missing some key players for Copa America. So June and July is going to be a real test of their sort of strength and you know, mental will. And so I think this is going to be when we'll really see sort of that mentality that John has preached, really, whether it'll really come to the fore.
If you look at the squad that they have right now, what is there one area that kind of worries you? Do you think they maybe need a couple certain players and maybe a central midfield or a center back positions, wide back position? Like, what position are you currently worried about going into the second half?
I would say number nine, Jimmy. I mean, I appreciate that Prince Owusu has kind of exceeded expectations, you know, because when he first came into MLS, I really did not see that he offered all that much. And even this season, it took him a while to get going. You know, certainly he's on a tear now, and I think that's great. And hopefully, if you're a TFC fan, he can continue it. But there's not a great deal of depth at that forward position, right? It's essentially just him and DeAndre Kerr, and Derek Etienne can play there a little bit as well. So, I mean, if I'm a TFC fan, I'd really like to see them go out and just add another goal-scoring piece, someone who can sort of complement or offer something different than, you know, Prince Owusu. I mean, I it's my personal bias, but I tend to like strikers in the Andrei Shevchenko sort of mold, who can kind of like stretch defenders, right, and kind of get in behind. Someone like Thierry Henry, another example. Owusu doesn't offer that. I mean, he offers something substantive, but he's not that type of player who's going to beat defenders in a one-on-one sprint and get in behind. So I really think they need to go out and find a striker in that mold just to sort of round out the goal scoring form up front.
Yeah. Sean Johnson signs a one-year contract extension through 2025, plus a team option for 2026. This season, 10 clean sheets in 35 games, 100 career clean sheets. He's a fantastic goalkeeper. He's going to the Copa America. Is this warranted, John? Do you think this is well-deserved?
I think so. I think he's been a pretty solid player for TFC since he signed as a free agent. I think he's really sort of developed into one of the sort of on-the-pitch leaders this year. I mean, he's part of the leadership group that TFC formed under John Herdman. And I think there's just he offers us, a stability and a calming presence in that back line. And look, I think one of the questions that was going to come up to TFC at the end of this year was, what were they going to do with Sean Johnson? Because he was out of contract at the end of 2024. Luka Gavrin, you know, made his debut last season. So he's still a young goalkeeper, but certainly has looked impressive when he's been called upon, including this year. And so, you know, I was wondering, what were they going to do? Were they going to stick with Sean Johnson? Or were they going to go with Luka Gavrin, who, you know, young goalkeeper, probably definitely costs a lot less than what Sean Johnson is making. What were they going to do? So it's to me fascinating that they sort of already answered this question and sort of hitched their wagon to Sean Johnson by, you know, giving him the 1 year extension and, you know, with a club option for 2025. So he's essentially tied up for the next 2 years. And I think it's the right move. I think Sean is an experienced veteran, level-headed goalkeeper. You need a presence like that both on the pitch and in the locker room. So I think it's an absolutely smart move. And Luka Gavrin is a young man. He's only 23, 24. He's still developing. I think his time will come. I think he's the goalkeeper of the future for TFC. But for now, I think it was absolutely the correct decision to lock up Sean Johnson for two more years.
I think that's probably part of Sean Johnson's role as well, is when you got Luka Gavrin underneath you is to help him along the way into his professional journey and eventually becoming a number one goalkeeper. There's no better keeper than Sean Johnson to help you. I mean, Sean Johnson on and off the pitch is an absolute gentleman. He's well-respected around the club. And when you see him play, he just seems to be very vocal and organized. Do you feel that the back four and him it's kind of galvanizing now where they're all coming together and becoming a little bit stronger because they've got this bond now that they're creating? And I'm sure it will take a little bit more time, but do you see it getting even stronger in the second half of this season?
I do. Yeah. I think that's, you know, it's a solid back sort of four. And, you know, let's not forget, I mean, certain players have kind of floated in and out of that back four too, right? Because Shane O'Neill had a strong start to the season and then he went down injured, and Kevin Long has missed some time due to suspension and injury. Nixon Gomis, the same thing. Sigurd Rosted is kind of filtered in and out. Raul Petretta. So the back three hasn't been terribly consistent from start to finish, but there is sort of some unity between the back three and that goalkeeper position with Sean Johnson that, again, I think it just speaks to the unity that they've built. I think it speaks to, you know, just their individual quality. I think a lot of that owes to Sean Johnson because he's a veteran goalkeeper who knows how to organize his back line. And there just seems to be a lot of trust in each other, which I don't know necessarily think that was the case last year. So, I just think that, you know, the partnership between the back three and Sean Johnson is just going to improve as the second half of the season progresses.
Now, we've touched on it with Copa America coming up. Toronto FC is going to be losing Jonathan Osorio, Richie Araya, and Sean Johnson to the American national team. They've got Chicago coming up, which we hope is a winnable game at home. But then you've got Nashville, New York. And if the Canadian and American national team do well and they end up going into the next rounds and later stages, is this going to be a concern for Toronto FC?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. I mean, at goalkeeper, maybe not so much because I think, well, I think they will miss sort of Sean Johnson's leadership, no question. But I think Luca Gavin, as I alluded to earlier, I mean, I think he's a suitable sort of stand-in. And when he's been called upon to fill in for an absent Sean Johnson, he's risen to the task. So I'm not so worried about that. But you're talking about missing, you know, your captain, Jonathan Osorio, and Richie Larea, who, you know, when he's healthy, is probably one of your most dangerous and dynamic sort of players. And so it'll be interesting to see how, you know, John Herdman sort of fills those, you know, three important gaps. Well, two really with Larea and Osorio. I think, you know, it's going to be a real test of this team's depth and quality and character, right? Because as you said, if Canada and the U.S. both go get out of the group stage of the Copa America, then we're talking about missing these three players until, you know, the first week of July and possibly, you know, beyond. That's a lot of games that they're going to be missing potentially, you know, starting with this weekend in Chicago. So I don't think that there's any question that I think we're going to find out what this team is really made of with all these international absences coming up.
Well, you know, I think when you look at it as well, we've had a few injuries. Players have come in and filled the void. Do you think John gets the best out of the players to kind of keep that standard high enough to continue to be successful?
I think so. I mean, when you look at it so far this season, when, you know, he's often talked about this sort of next man up mentality, right? I mean, they had like some serious injury issues earlier in the season where it seemed like they were just snake bitten. And, you know, one man went down and it was another one who stepped in, whether it was Tyree Spicer went down and someone else stepped into her spot or whatever. There were countless examples. And so, you know, I think John is going to sort of continue to rely on that. I think he's going to sort of pose it to his players as, look, these guys are gone. This is your opportunity to make a claim for yourself for more playing time and to prove to me that, you know, you deserve more sort of responsibility. So I think that's how he's going to couch it. And, you know, if the early first half of the season is any indication, then it's probably going to bring out the best in sort of some of these depth players who, you know, are going to see some, you know, minutes coming up here with all these international absences.
Yeah, and I think it's hard to manage sometimes too, John, because, you know, as a player, if you're going into a position and you're filling in for a Jonathan Osorio or a Richie Larea, who really, when that team sheet's getting written out, are starters. They're number one on that team sheet. And to go in there and as a young player and try to fill that void and think, okay, I've got to show myself and I've got to perform well and I've got to play at the same standard as these two players. But then in the back of your mind, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to work my backside off here, but I know as soon as those two come back, they're going to end up taking their job, their spots back. So it's quite difficult, and it's going to be hard for John to manage and get them mentally right that you're going to go in there and you're going to perform. And if you do the job right, then that could be your spot where Richie and also got to work hard now to try to take that spot back.
Yeah, it's a valid point, although – I mean, all I would say is that, you know, what choice do they have, right? I mean, they have to go out and perform to the best of their ability. I take your point, and it's a valid one about, you know, no matter how well they do, they likely aren't going to sort of, you know, displace Osorio and Larea from the starting lineup. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they can't just sort of go out and just sort of, you know, do a cakewalk and not put in the effort. Yeah. They have to sort of be professional about it. Yeah. And they have to go out and do what they have to do. And I do think John will remember it. I mean, maybe not immediately. And maybe, you know, it's more than likely Larea and Osorio will walk straight back into the starting 11. But I think it will register with John if they perform well. And he'll remember that. And, you know, he won't be so sort of hesitant to call upon them, you know, in the future. So I think it's absolutely in their best interest to go out and, you know, do the best as they can and show John what they can do.
Absolutely. John's got his hands full, but he knows how to manage players and he knows how to get the best out of them. But we've got an awful lot of football coming up with Copa America. MLS is going to be starting up on June 15th. It's exciting times now, seeing how Toronto FC does in the second half. John, what can we expect from TFC Republic?
So we'll have an in-depth preview of the Chicago game coming up. And I actually spoke to your former coach, John Carver, recently. So going to have a feature piece on him. He had some nice things to say about you. So, it was interesting catching up with John because I think he was probably one of the most colorful coaches in TFC history. And it was just a shame he was even there 2 years because I thought he – like I said, a very colorful guy, a lot of emotion.
Was he ever? He was a great guy, a fantastic manager as well, probably one of the best that I've worked with. And we're all going to wish him much success with this Scotland squad. It's great to see how much they've achieved over the last few years and where they are today as a nation.
Yeah, well, I gave him some stick about that, right, as an Englishman coaching, being assistant on the Scottish national team. And he said, hey, look, you know, England didn't come calling for me, so I had to do this. So, but, no, it was great catching up with John. It was just a really great guy, as you said, and really enjoyed our conversation. So I'll have, like, a feature story on John and what he's doing and just his memories of, you know, TFC. Because he was he was the club's second coach and was really there at, you know, a really sort of important time in the history of the franchise. So it was an interesting discussion.
It's fantastic. It's great to hear. Well, you can follow us all on social media and please visit our website, wearefootyprime.com. Thanks for listening.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeIG and visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter. What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening and back to the show. Oh.